So how many of you guys, how many of you, let's ask like some really honest questions, right? How many of you guys are always picked first if we're going to like play a sport or play a game? You know, you line up and you get captains. Who's getting picked first tonight? Raise your hand. You know it. You're confident. You're like, I'm going first, right? Or at least in the first top five. Let's say you're top five. How many top fivers in the room? Oh, wow. All right. Let's change the question since there's only two of you that think you were even get picked for the game. How many of you guys are last every time? You're like, I'm always last. I'm like, okay, so we had a lot more hands. All right, I'm in good company tonight. So when I was a little kid, right, when I was in elementary school, hard to believe, but I was a chunky little kid, right? Whoever would have thought that? So I was a little chunky, and everybody else in my class, they were like little skinny dudes, and like they're athletic, and they could jump real high. So if we ever played basketball, nobody was picking Rob. Like, I was always the last guy because, like, big man doesn't jump, you know, like, it just didn't work. So I could not play basketball. I couldn't jump. I couldn't do that stuff. But I had a secret weapon, right? I had that low center of gravity. Big boys in the room, you know what I'm talking about, right? So there's this game. I don't know if you guys still play it, but we played it back then 1,000 years ago when I was little, called Red Rover, Red Rover, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Red Rover, Red Rover? What? All right, so here, you're going to know this game, right? So you get two lines. Everybody holds hands. You face each other, and you call the weakest weakling on the other side who's going to, like, do terrible to run over, and they get to try to break through your like, chain you made. And if they don't, they become part of your chain, and your chain grows. That's how you grow your empire. But if they break it, they can pick one of you guys and bring you back, right? So, big man always got picked first if it was Red Rover, Red Rover, because they knew I was breaking that chain all day long, right? So, kickball, that was another great one, kickball, because they were like, big dude's going to boot that ball, that low center of gravity, it's going to send it flying. So, on those rare occasions that we played one of those games, you know, I felt so good. I was like, man, I'm going to get picked first this time, and there's something about getting chosen first, right? Where it's like, man, like people recognize something about me. They didn't choose me because I'm bad, unless they just feel bad for me. And that might have happened sometimes. I don't know. But like they're recognizing something about you when you're being chosen. Like the crowd's recognizing that you are gifted in a certain area, that you have a certain skill, that you're going to help them do better, right? Something special about you that's causing them to choose you. Think about that for a second. Like, something as simple as a little kid's game, there's such a deep truth there, right? And how do we react when we are chosen, when people do recognize that about us? Like, there's this feeling that we get of like, man, like, I was chosen. Like, they saw me. They saw something in me. And so it does something inside of us when we're chosen for a thing. And the same happens when we're not, but like in the opposite direction. So those of you guys who understand what it's like to be picked last every time, like, that's a terrible feeling. You don't even want to play sometimes. You're like, I'm just going to sit on the bench because I know I'm just going to get picked last, and that's going to be embarrassing, and I don't want to even be out there. Like, there's something about that recognition of who we are, or at least what we think people are telling us who we are, right? But there's something about that being chosen that's actually pretty powerful in our lives. And the passage we're going to look at tonight, I think Jesus digs into that a little bit tonight. Something so simple, something so basic that we see in fundamental parts of life, right? Like even little kids' games. Jesus is going to kind of open our eyes up to something really special in the passage tonight. So look with me in Romans chapter 3. Sorry, Romans. I'm reading the word Mark saying Romans. Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 7. It says this. It says, Jesus withdrew his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed. From Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. Remember that phrase. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach, have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12. Here they are. It's a long list. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So Jesus gives us this list, this roster, right, of dudes that he's like, hey, I choose you. 12 guys. Did you hear how big the crowd was? Like this massive crowd, Jesus would have to go to places like the seashore or out into the desert or into a wilderness on a big field somewhere just to have enough room to fit these massive crowds of people who wanted to gather around to hear him speak, to get close enough to touch him so they could be healed, to watch him do another miracle because this crowd, like everyone wanted to see and get close and talk to Jesus. And so out of all of those people that Jesus could have looked out and said, man, this massive following I have the choice of so many people, like literally anybody on earth, I could have just chose, but yet I'm looking at you 12 right there. Out of all of them, I'm picking you 12. Thousands and thousands of people could have been on this list. And he chose them. There's something really powerful in that. There's something that we will just read past this as some list of names that's boring and like we don't even understand how weirdly pronounced they are and like who cares about the list of names type deal and we just read on to the good stuff and then we miss the power in the moment. Jesus chose those guys. When I think about this passage and what that means, they would be chosen, right? Jesus is withdrawing to the sea. He's taking them with him. This crowd is following. He's literally looking at these guys and saying, you 12, I want you to get me a boat because this crowd that's coming is so big and they just want to press in so close. If I'm not ready to jump on the boat and get out, they will crush me dead. That's what he tells them. Like, they're going to crush me, guys, if you don't have this boat ready because there's so many and they're going to press in so tight to see me. I can't even get past that part without stopping and doing a heart check in myself. Because I'm looking at this crowd of people who still don't really know him. They just heard about what he could do and they can't wait to get close to Jesus. And sometimes I sit here on a stage or stand here on a stage or sit in this church with other believers and we have this free, open access to be as close as we want to Jesus. And I don't. Crowds like this that don't even get it better than I do sometimes. And I'm up here preaching God's word, wanting to be close to him in a way that says, God, like, I'm going to press in so tight, you're going to get crushed. Like, this crowd just wanted to be near Jesus. Can you do a heart check real quick tonight? You don't have to say it out loud, but just for you, between you and God. You just ask yourself that, like, do I really want to be close to Christ? Is there something in me that pushes me toward him? I desire to be where he's at, to sit in his presence, to get so close. He's going to have a boat ready because I'm going to be all up in his space like, Jesus, I just want to be near you. Or am I often too distracted by my life and the other things going on that I forget all about him? And it's like, man, I forgot to even talk to you today. I never opened up the word. I didn't pray. I honestly didn't really even think about Jesus today. Like sometimes that can be far too often of a day in our lives. Or could I honestly say like, man, I just wanted to grab his hand and walk around with him all day long today. This crowd just kept pushing in. And out of that massive crowd, there were 12 that Jesus looks over to, and he gives them this task, and he's like, I need you guys to get me a boat. I'm counting on you. I'm trusting you. I'm stepping into a deeper relationship with you than any of these other people. There's something special and something powerful that's happening here. Verse 11, it says, and whenever the unclean spirits saw him, talking about Jesus, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. So Jesus isn't just healing people, pressing down, pressing in close to be healed. He's also walking around with this authority that people notice and see, that even demons that are possessing these people, right? So that means the crowd, they're not even all Christians. There are people in this crowd that they're literally demon possessed. All they know is I'm hurting, I'm broken, I'm addicted, I feel like I'm in chains, I don't even know what's going on. They don't even know that they have a demon possessing them. And so they're coming up to Jesus like, I don't even know the answer, but I feel like you might have it, and so I need to come close. And as they do, the demon that's within them, possessing them, is freaking out because this person is carrying them close to the Son of God, who has the power to literally kill them where they stand. And the demon's like, no, like, we recognize you. Don't kill us. That's authority. That is power. That's who these dudes are walking next to. These 12 are getting to watch him heal the sick. They're getting to watch Jesus touch people who couldn't walk their entire lives, and all of a sudden they get up and start dancing and running around. They're watching Jesus touch blind dudes' eyes that all of a sudden have their sight returned. They're watching Jesus do unbelievable miracles right in front of their eyes, including watching demons get cast out and freak out just at the sight of the Son of God. When they were picked, right, when they were chosen for this team of 12 to serve with Jesus, you better believe they understood what an unbelievable privilege that was. Some of us might even look at that and say, like, man, that was like being chosen to be a disciple. That must have been awesome. That over there could never happen to me because that was like a big thing that happened in the Bible thousands of years ago. Then what happened when you accepted him as your Savior? Jesus looked at you and he chose you. He called you to be his disciples. He calls them disciples. That means learner or follower, right? Like they were studying the life of Jesus and how to be like him. He was teaching them as they were walking together. They were with Jesus so that they could become more like Jesus. They saw him do the miracles and they learned. They watched him love people and they learned. They watched him hug on the brokenhearted and the hopeless and they learned. They watched him minister and feed people and they were learning and growing and becoming like him. Their hearts were starting to look like the heart that Jesus had because they were disciples, learners of Jesus as they followed him, walked with him, and did life with him. They did more than just sit down and read some like books. Then just sit down and study the Torah all day long. They took those truths and they heard what Jesus taught and they did it. They lived it out. They acted on it. And it became a part of their heart because they actually used it. Too often we're reading the Bible and doing nothing with it. We're leaving it there. We read our like 5 minutes in the morning or two verses and we say a quick prayer. And then we like run off in our day and we think, yeah, I did it. I'm growing closer to Jesus today. And listen, I'm not knocking that you're trying if that's you, if I just unintentionally described your life. But there's more. There's more. And if that's all you're doing, there's so much more. You could take those truths and actually live them out. You can follow him through your day and believe the words you studied that morning in that verse and apply it to your heart and your life and use it with other people. And all of a sudden, you know what happens to that truth you just read in the morning? It becomes part of your heart. It embeds itself deep inside of you and it changes who you are. That's where the real change happens. That is what a disciple really is. You're not just a student studying Bible verses. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ who uses that truth to change lives, including your own. Because the Holy Spirit takes that and he uses it to transform you as you obey. That's what a disciple is. So Jesus, in verse 13, it says, he went up on the mountain and he called to him. Called to him those whom he desired. Here's the choice being made, right? He's up on this mountain and he literally looks at these 12 and he intentionally, specifically, and clearly says, I choose you. And he doesn't just do it because he needed some dudes to help him carry bags. It says, those whom he desired. Jesus intentionally had a plan for these guys. He wanted them in his life. He wanted them to walk around and do ministry together. He wanted to laugh on those dirty roads that they were walking together in their sandals, stubbing their toes on rocks and laughing about it and telling stories and coming across people that need to be healed and watching them do miracles, spending every day together, eating meals together, being hot and sweaty together, suffering and crying and hurting together. Jesus wanted those relationships because they were real and they were raw, and those were the guys he chose and he desired to have by his side. If you think tonight that it was some accident that you bumped into some churchy thing and now you have friends who are Christians or a family that's Christian, so, hey, so am I. Then you've got the whole wrong view of what Jesus is doing here. You're not accidentally bumping into Christianity or into church or into Jesus. He's looking at you intentionally, with eyes wide open, and he's saying, I choose you, and I desire for you to be by my side. And the moment you look back at Jesus and you say, I choose you back, I want to be yours. I received the gift where you died on that cross and rose again for me. I received that. I want you to save me and forgive me of my sin. Like, in that moment, what you're doing is what these men did when Jesus looked and said, I choose you. You're standing there being chosen. It wasn't an accident. God, literally, listen to me, God loves you. Shocker, you hear that in church, right? But he does. He does so much. He took his only son and sent him to a cross. You can't be any more intentional than that. If he's that intentional about calling you and desiring you, don't you think he has a purpose for you? A plan for you right now? Why would he be so intentional and say, all right, now you're saved, so go do what you want. Check back in with me in 30 years. He's calling you to his side to walk with him, to serve with him, to minister with him. So many of us get saved, though. We're like, we accept Jesus. And then we kind of like maybe go to youth group or church when there's not a bunch of other things in our schedule and we're not just too busy and we haven't chosen a million things to be more important than Jesus. It's just the truth. Jesus looks down and said, I didn't call you for this. I called you to walk next to me. I called you to do life with me. I called you to serve with me. Not just disappear and then hopefully we'll see each other again someday. That's what this call looked like in these men's lives. He starts off immediately with, now go get me a boat. Like, we got to do something together here. You're stepping into life with me now. We're not waiting. Not waiting till you get older. We're not waiting till you get more trained. We're not waiting till you get through college or go to Bible school. Like, right now, I want you with me. Let's go. And they begin to serve together. Is that what your relationship with Christ looks like? Too many Christians walk in this like fake Christian thing where like, man, I got saved, so I'm going to heaven, so I'm good now. I'll just go do whatever I want, live however I want. Jesus is like, I didn't call you to that. I called you to a relationship. You know, when people are actually like in a relationship, they talk to each other. They spend time with each other. Jesus is inviting you into his life, and that's what they did. Jesus wants you to step into the purpose he has for your life and live life with him. You're like, man, well, I got so many things in my life that how do I like do the daily stuff that has to get done? Jesus isn't telling you to stop doing everything you need to do. Like brushing your teeth, listen, that's not kingdom work right there. That's not Jesus work. Don't worry about brushing your teeth. It's a waste of time. It's just too normal. Do every day. Please brush your teeth, all right? We want you to brush your teeth. Your breath will stink. but also everything in your life. Listen to this. Everything in your life is up for grabs when it comes to Jesus. Even the things you think are so small and unimportant that are just routine every day, Jesus wants to take that normal thing and turn it into something sacred. Walking through my hallway at school, yeah, all of a sudden becomes evangelism. Everything we do can be used to build the kingdom of God. That random conversation I had with a friend at lunch, yeah, but can become a ministry opportunity for you to invest in the heart of another person. Every normal thing we do, God wants to take and call it a thing of worship. Use it a thing to build his kingdom. So every part of your life is up for grabs. Guess what God wants? You hear me? Everything. He wants it all. He wants the sport that you play, the conversations that you have, your friendships, your family, your studies at school. Everything that you do is no longer a choice between that and Jesus. Now it's just, it's all yours, Jesus. And here's the scary part. We don't like to do that because Jesus might take some of those things and be like, all right, we're getting rid of that one. That one doesn't even need a beat. Like, and we're like, no, don't get rid of the thing instead of saying it's yours anyway. Get rid of what you want. And most of it, what he's going to do is he's going to look at it and say, let's use this for this purpose. Let's use this to build my kingdom. Let's use this to help that broken, hurting person over there. See that hopeless person? Let's give them some hope. And he's going to reach into the things of your life and start to give them a purpose that serve his kingdom. That's what he's doing with these 12 guys, ordinary guys. God's like, that's exactly who I want. Because I want to take your whole life and do something unbelievable with it. So when people see it, they're going to go, that had to be God, because there's no way that could have ever happened because of what this dude could do or how he could talk or his skill or his... He had nothing. Jesus had to have done it through him, and God loves that because his fingerprints are all over it. Verse 14, he says this, and he appointed 12. These guys were chosen. These guys were desired, and these guys were appointed. He gave them this beautiful purpose, right? The same purpose like he has for your life. If you're wondering, like, is not waiting for it, the answer is yes. There is. You're not waiting for it to show itself in 20 years. It's already here. Tonight, we're like, hey, already a plan. He's just waiting for you to step into the plan that already exists tonight. So many of us are like, hey, Rob, how do I pray for God's will or find out what God wants for my life or find out God's plan for my life? Yes, pray, but add some action to your prayer because you're not praying for something that hasn't happened. You're praying for something that already happened. What we're really, you already have my eyes up so I see where the plan is because it's already here. You already have it. There's something you want me to do right now. There's already orders you're giving me and opportunities you're providing me right now. So the question is, help me just see it. Help me see what's already around me, what you've already done and chosen for me. He appointed these guys. Do you see how specific and intentional that is? And look what they did. The end of verse 13, I skip one thing. Look at this. It says, and they came to him. This is where we messed up. So many of us messed up because Jesus calls us and we're like, yes, saved. Never actually. But we never actually go with him. Never actually take those steps of faith and say, let's go. Like, walk me where you want me to go. These guys came to Jesus. They responded. So in verse 14, he appoints them. Look what it says. Whom he also named apostles. Now, apostles were like, they weren't just disciples, learners, right? But they were also, these guys were apostles, meant church planters. Their job was to go out and spread the gospel so people would get saved in a village and then a church would start. They'd start to worship together. And then this church pops up and now they have a pastor and they're growing. They go over here and they do it again in the village and another church pop be with him. They were apostles. That's what apostles were called to do, right? It says so that they might be with him. That's number one. And he might send them out to preach. That's number two. If you have been called by Jesus, and a lot of you guys have. Tonight you would say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. That means you've been called by Jesus. That's what you're saying. And if you believe you were called by him, chosen specifically, he desired you, called you, and appointed you. Here's what he did that for. Number one, that they might be with him. Put your name there, that you might be with him. You just want to be like, all right, he wants you to be with him. He didn't just want to be like, all right, sweet, now go off and do this thing. I have now called you. You have the title and the authority, so get out of here and go work. Let me know how it goes. Jesus says, I want you to be like that crowd at the beginning of this passage. Here, I want you to press in close. I want to be in fear that you're literally going to crush me. I got to have a boat waiting because you want to be close to me. I want to draw you into me. How would you describe your relationship with Jesus tonight? Would you say it's that close? Would you say you have a desire to go out and serve him, to spend time with Jesus? He didn't just call you so you could go out and serve. He calls you because he wants you. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you just so that they might be with him. And number two, that he might send them out to preach. The more time they get with him, spend with him, the more they become like him, right? His heart grows inside of them. They watch him work and they start to want the same things he wants and love the same way he loves and love the same people he loves. And all of a sudden they're ready. And he's like, now as you're doing that, as you're learning and growing, buddy in your life, wherever, I want you to also do what I'm doing, which is preach the truth to people. Everybody in your life, wherever I already have you planted, right? My plan for your life, my will for your life is to be with me and to preach the truth about me to the people that I've given you. That means people at school. That means those teachers that drive you nuts that might not know Christ. That means college professors when you guys end up graduating and going to college. That means your family, even the family members that drive you nuts. That means people in the community. Jesus has put people in your life all around you in spheres of influence in your life so that you can preach. You can tell them the truth about who he is. When's the last time you shared your faith about that they don't know Christ? Who's the last person that you actually had a broken heart over that they don't know Christ? And if they died today, they'd go to hell. And it burdened you so with them deeply that it caused you to say something. It caused you to tell them, to share with them, to try to give them hope. Let them know how they can know their Savior. Tell them what he did in your life and in your heart. The plan you keep asking about, that's it. Or we're called to preach the gospel. You don't have to be a pastor or a missionary to preach the gospel. We were all called and loved so that we would preach the gospel. Are you preaching the gospel? Here's Rob, you scared. I'm such a shy person, or I don't even know where to begin. Well, here's some solutions. If you're actually serious about it, go ask somebody like me, how do I preach the gospel? I would love to show you. I would love to talk with you. I would love to teach you that. Your life group leaders are here to help you learn that so we can disciple you, right? So you can learn how to preach the gospel. Here, what that even means. Talk about it on the stage all the time. If you listen, you're going to hear it constantly from up here. You're going to hear it in your life groups and hear it on Sunday morning. The gospel is, and how there are people sitting, student leaders and other friends you have that are sitting in this room that could tell you what the gospel is and how to communicate it to someone. Let's stop hiding behind excuses like, I don't know how to do that, because you have the ability to learn right around you. That's what this is. It's what we're doing here. Learn how. But I'm still scared. It doesn't take away my fear. That's true. But God does. We're all scared. It's a scary thing when you're dealing with eternal life and death. But the whole point is that if Jesus called you, then you can trust him that he's going to do it through you. So if you're like, man, I'm really scared to do that, I'd be like, good that you can trust. That's an important thing because it means you're humble. But second, it also means that you can trust a really big God and watch him show off and do something awesome through you, that you get too scared. to think it could ever happen. And then when God shows up and uses you and someone gets saved, you look up at God and you're like, I can't even believe it. And he's like, I know you couldn't believe it. You should have trusted me from the beginning. You're like, I know, I should have trusted you. You're like, how that goes. Trust Jesus. He's all you need to do it. And he's called you to go do it. He says, you'll even have the power, these guys have the power, the authority to cast out demons. Like, what in the world? It wasn't because and the Holy Spirit turned into like superheroes. It was because Jesus and the Holy Spirit was literally in them and the Holy Spirit could cast out demons. You saw they were literally freaking out when they saw Jesus. And now they're carrying Jesus, carrying the Holy Spirit literally within them as they walk through life. The authority and the power that you have, the fear that you have, should just fade away the second that you realize the authority that exists inside of you, who is living inside of you. I can never do that. Listen, demons bow when they see Jesus. What are you scared of? You storm the gates of hell and don't have to worry because Jesus is within you. Just trust him. We've got no excuses. We just have a choice. Do we say yes when God calls? When he chooses us? Or do we say, no, not right now. Like maybe later when I'm more trained, when I'm older, maybe later when I'm ready, when right now I'm really into this sin and this distraction in my life and I know I'd have to give that up. So right now I'm just not ready. Or do you say, kick it all to the curb. I don't care about any of that stuff. Like, Jesus, let's go. I choose you. I'm coming to you because you called me. It's a choice. No more excuses, just choices. Verse 16 gives us this list. And I'm not going to read it again. We already did once. And you can read it for yourself right there. But he lists the 12. And it is like this roster of people that are just, goodness gracious. Like, if we don't have time tonight, but if we did and we went through every name and their backstory and their history, we would probably take votes on each of these people and be like, nah, like that person should never have been chosen to be a disciple or an apostle. Jesus, what were you thinking? Why would you be language that? Do you know what a hothead Peter was? Do you know the kind of language, filthy language that dude used? Like, do you understand who you called when you called Peter? Go for James and John. Like, are you serious? They're the sons of Zebedee. Like, do you understand why they, like, we could go through every single one of these dudes. Doubting Thomas, right? The dude, come on. Why would they be on this list? You and I wouldn't have chosen. But God loves to choose people that the world looks at and goes, why in the world would you ever choose them? So that when something incredible happens, he's the one who gets all the glory. Like, it's so obvious God can't use somebody like Rob Jones to do undoes it. Everyone's going to be like, I don't have the skill or the gift or the talent. I'm not that guy. You're going to be like, oh, he's going to go do this. But when God does it, everyone's going to be like, that definitely wasn't Rob. That was obviously God because that was way too big for Rob. Because, and that's how it should be. That's where the glory should go. Because God's working through you. But the beauty is you don't need to be some Billy Graham person, some like theologian that's out there doing. Like, all you need to do is say yes to Jesus and trust him and let him work through you in all the places of your life and say it's all yours, every single place. Just do it, Jesus. And that same authority that makes demons fall on their faces and scream and freak out, that authority and power will live through you. Out of my trust. Listen, y'all, I am out of my mind confused why Jesus would ever call me better. I'm like, I am not a good choice here, God. Like, there are so many better, more gifted people to call me, call for you to call to serve than me. But I can also tell you that I am unbelievably grateful that he chose, that he looked at me and said, I choose you. I desire you. And I will empower you to do the things I've called you to do. So tonight, that's the question. Do you really believe that that's what he wants to do in your heart? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? As the band leads us in this next song of worship, will you say a quick prayer and just kind of talk to God for a second? Just ask him to show you in a moment of honesty, like, God, how close do I really want to be to you? Am I really pressing in? If being close to you is something that really matters, like it's important to me. Pieces of it, I really trust that if I hand you my heart and my life and all the pieces of it, that you're enough. And that you're strong enough to do something, even the scary things that you're going to call me into. Like, God, you are enough. And listen, if you're here and you're like, listen, that's not me. I don't really believe that. That's okay. It's a good place to start with honesty and saying, like, that's just where I am right now. But would you just stop and ask him, like, God, just show me the honest place that I am really at tonight. Heads bowed and your eyes closed. As you ask God that question, can I just ask you tonight, like, I would love to be a part of that with you. I know your life, I'm not a part of that walk with you, but if in a moment of honesty tonight you would say, like, I'm not there. I'm not in a place, or at least I haven't been until tonight, but I want to press in with Jesus. I've been doing the Christian thing, the youth group thing, but I haven't, like, wanted to take my whole life and trust Jesus with all of it. That hasn't been me. But tonight, I'm ready to take that step. Like, I want to go all in with Christ. Listen, if that's you, can I pray for you? You just slip your hand up and just say, Rob, like, you can say that prayer over me tonight. That's me. I'm not going to ask you to move around or be awkward or weird, but, like, just let me know so I can pray. I want Jesus to do that in my heart. I want to be serious. Or maybe you're here tonight, you're like, listen, I don't know Jesus. Not in the way you're talking about. I haven't accepted Christ as my Savior. I haven't had a moment where I've confessed my sin to Him and asked Him to save me. I've never done that. And tonight I keep feeling the Holy Spirit talk to me. God's doing something in my heart, and I need that. If that's you tonight, can you slip your hand up? Can you just say, hey, that's me. Like, I want to know Jesus that way. I want to be saved. I want my sin forgiven. I want to be able to say I have a relationship with God that's real. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? We'll pray for you tonight. Listen, before you leave this place tonight, speak to me or life group leader and just say, hey, that's me. Like, I want to know Christ. Could you just tell me how to do that? Could you just pray with me before we leave tonight? I pray for you. Father God, thank you for working in our hearts. Thank you that you chose us, that you desire us, that you love us, that you want us close. And God, I ask you, for those of us who are straying right now, so distracted by other things, call us back. God, would you call us back? Cause us to walk close, to hold your hand. Cause us to see you with all to you tonight. Just love you so much. Jesus, we give it all to you tonight. And as we sing this next song, would you hear us worship?